Blog Talk Radio.
Out there, we have a really good show tonight. I'm so excited. I'm a fan, and I cannot wait to speak to our guest tonight. And also, Johnny Boy couldn't join us tonight. John and Ricky O, he's tied up and probably liking it, so I'm not going to bother him. So joining us tonight with a special co-host with us tonight is Jennifer Byrne, and she's a big Family Ties fan, so I think we're going to have a good time. And so before we get started, let's get to our sponsors, and we'll welcome our guest, Mr. Scott Valentine. Here we go, our sponsors. Thank you to Hive Bar and Bistro in Garfield, New Jersey, Precious Memory Video, Kitnersville, Pennsylvania, KWD Wines in South Africa, Keys for the Times and Other Stuff in Clifton, New Jersey, Syntech Productions, Lenoka Harbor, New Jersey, Oleander Productions, Public Relations in Texas, Take a Break from Cancer.org for Pete's Sake, and Joey Mack's Hot Dog Trucking Cafe in Harrison, New Jersey. Nothing but oral satisfaction there, and I believe we're going to be giving away some T-shirts there soon, and possibly free food. Everybody loves that. So, joining us tonight... Yeah, joining us tonight is the fabulous, the gorgeous, I'll never forget when he first came on Family Ties, actor Scott Valentine, who played Nick Moore on Family Ties. Hi, Scott. How are you, hon?
Hey there. How are you? I am well. I'm well. It's a beautiful day out here in lovely Los Angeles.
Nice.
And hello,
nice.
Jennifer. How are you?
Hey. How are you?
You know you're going to owe me a royalty on that, okay? You keep doing that, young lady, and I'm going to be rich.
Come on.
Well, yeah, I got to say, Scott, you were a breath of fresh air when you came to the show. I mean, the show was cool. Everybody loved it. But when you came in, it made it more kind of real type of thing. You know what I mean? Like everybody could relate a little more to you. Then they could, you know what I mean, in a way?
Yeah. I hear what you're saying, yeah. Without I don't want to sound egotistical or anything like that. Like, oh, God, I was great, wasn't I? But
yeah, you would have been.
maybe it was a little unfathomable.
Alex P. Keaton.
Pardon me?
I said total opposite of Mr. Alex P. Keaton, that's for sure.
Exactly.
Right.
And
right.
Maybe the hippie parents
say,
with
Scott.
The Ronald
yeah, exactly.
Reagan-loving son was a little unfathomable for folks.
Well, for some people it could have been. That's what I'm saying. You were more realistic, and Mallory was more realistic, too, and so was Jennifer, you know what I mean? So, but
We love Mallory, and we love Jennifer.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, well, everybody.
We love Skippy.
Yeah,
yes.
I was a big fan of Meredith Baxter Burney growing up. How was it working with her? She seems like a sweetheart.
Meredith was phenomenal. She was a sweetheart, just a veritable sweetheart. The great thing is, Joanne, that when I got on the show, my ex-wife, which we're still amicable, she was pregnant with our first child, and Meredith was just a wealth of knowledge for rearing children and caring for them and all sorts of stuff. So it was literally like having a surrogate mom right there.
Yeah, I mean, I just loved her so much from the first time I've ever seen her in anything. I mean, and she's been doing it a long time. Oh, my God, I can't remember the first show or movie I saw her in, but she was young. But anyway, enough about them. We're here to talk about you. So, Nick,
we can talk about them. We can talk about the weather.
We
can talk about politics if we want and really put everybody in a dour mood. Okay.
No, we're not going to do that. But I like to stay away. Every time I think I'm out, they pull me back in. I can't. It's crazy. But anyway, so now when you got the role, I mean, I don't know if folks know, you had a really rough go. I mean, you were getting the dream of a lifetime to audition. You had a role in the soap. What soap was it?
Well, I didn't. I never actually got it when I was on my way to.
Right, that's what I want to get there. But what soap was it that you were supposed to?
It was either As the World Turns or what was the other soap with the name World in it? As the World Turns or.
I don't know.
I'm not a big here. I could Google it.
I only
for
know
it.
Days of Our Lives. That was the only one I ever watched.
Was that the one with Victor?
Yes, and Marlena. And she got possessed.
Welcome to Soapland. But what I was leading up to was you were getting this role in a soap, and you were auditioning for Lords of Discipline. And what the hell happened? I mean, people don't know this. I don't think they know this. This is horrible.
No, I got hit, run over, and dragged by a truck. Into an argument with a truck driver on the corner of 8th and 42nd in Manhattan. Mm. And at the time I was, 81, I was 23. Mm. And you know, at 23, you're full of piss and vinegar and think you're
yeah.
you know, nobody can defeat you. And
now you're
this,
just full of piss. Now you're just full
yeah,
of piss.
Exactly. Exactly. And no, I can get my ass kicked, that's for sure.
Yeah, me too, right?
Exactly. No, we got into a thing, and then he caught up to me, hit me from behind, ran over me with the front tire, and then I got trapped under the back tires and pushed up to 44th Street. I died. They brought me back. I was paralyzed from the waist down. I was told I'll never walk, never have children. I have four beautiful boys, wonderful boys, and I think you may have seen me walk once or twice, not levitate and not hovering. And recovered in New York. I had an artificial femur, acetabulum, hip, and about a quarter of my pelvis put in 83.
Oh.
And when I started auditioning again in New York, sort of the denouement for me was auditioning for a film that Robbie Benson was doing with Paul Newman. I don't remember the name of it.
I remember Benson doing the movie, yeah.
And I was to play Robbie Benson's best buddy. And it came down to the final audition, the director and the producer were like, okay, you're the guy. And the casting director, who's now an agent out in L.A., she said, aren't you made of fake parts? I said, well, everybody's got fake parts in them. Who's really real here? You know? And she said, no, you're...
Well, what's that got to do with anything?
Thank you. And she said, no, you're hip. You got something with your hip. I said, yeah, I'm a hip guy. She's like, no, you got like fake parts. You're like a tinker toy. You're going to break on the set. We can't hire him. He's like a tinker toy. And I literally jumped on the coffee table in the room and started acting like I was surfing and doing that. Hey, I'm fine. And everybody in the room looked at me like I was crazy. And I knew at that moment, I've got to move to L.A. Got to go to L.A. where nobody knows about this. And I took 2 months driving cross country with Laurel Johnson. We got busted coming in from Canada to the U.S., had a couple of joints in the glove compartment. And, you know, coming from New York, you could stand on the street corner at that time and smoke a joint, and the cop would be like, hey, give me a hit of that. These guys up in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan is where it was. Mm. And they acted as if we were trafficking, you know, kilos of heroin. It was kind of goofy. But anyway, got to L.A., auditioned, and finally got the part on Family Ties, which was supposed to be a one-week gig. And I was like, you know, the date that would never leave.
Mm. Well, that's good. Mm. That's good.
Lucky for us.
Lucky for us, exactly. What was the purpose of them bringing you in? got? Was it too, were ratings going down and they needed something to pick it up, or just...
No, I think the ratings were doing just...
Right, it was good at the time, right?
Yeah, it was great. I mean, come on, to realize, as an actor, to walk into a show, because at that time I believe they were number two on the air. Michael Fox had just done, what was it, Teen Wolf? That was a hit. And I think he may have had Back to the Future coming out. And I think they just wanted, I'm not sure what they wanted, what they were looking for. But it was a one-week gig, and I remember the Friday when we were shooting, Gary Goldberg, who was the creator of the show, the showrunner, coming up to me and going, you know, we kind of like you around here, and how would you feel if you came back a few times? I'm like, sure, yeah, okay,
yeah,
whatever.
Right?
Yeah, have me back.
Wow.
I love it.
As a fan, I think it was because Skippy was in love with Mallory, so they wanted you to come on, and you were the total opposite of him, too.
And break Skippy's heart? Wow, Scott.
Yeah.
That was a nice man.
I mean, obviously, Mallory wasn't digging Skippy. Alex wanted Mallory to be with Skippy, but...
He was a good guy.
Skippy's
a good guy, and the actor who plays him, Mark Price, is just a sweetheart of a guy. Really nice.
Do you keep in touch with anyone?
You know, the person I've been in touch with the most is Mark Price.
Awesome.
Oh, wow.
And somewhat with Brian Bonsall. I don't know if you remember
that. Oh, wow.
Little Andrew.
And Brian is now married, has a child of his own, lives up in Colorado, has got major ink all over everywhere, everything, and is just big time.
Nice.
And he's a sweetheart of a guy.
I just can't picture him being all tatted up. And, you know, he was like this little cute, innocent kid. That's what all I remember. I haven't seen him in anything since then. But I lost touch with TV at the time, so he may have gone on to other things, and I didn't catch it. But now, when you went in for the audition, did it call for the Rocky-esque and the cool guy? Or what were you told you had to do? What type of role did they tell you you were filling? Did you do that all yourself? Did you mimic the I don't want to say Rocky, but did that Rocky?
I did, and it was a cognizant choice, because in the script, in that episode, at some point, the father said, "Our daughter's dating Rambo," so I thought,
oh yeah, because you did look like him, yeah,
right,
and
I thought there had to be a little bit of that. And they weren't really sure if his last name was Nick Moore or Nick Morelli. They kept on going back and forth on that. But I assumed, okay, Rambo, Sylvester Stallone, he's from New York. I had many friends in New York that made art out of garbage, so that was not a stretch for me to find the reality in that. And the guy was just, it's so funny. Gary Goldberg was always very appreciative. He would always say, you had one of the hardest jobs, because you're playing a character where nobody likes the character, with the exception of one person, Mallory.
Right.
And coming on the set, always going on a set when you're the new guy.
But you weren't hated, Scott. You just were not the right guy for the family. I mean, you weren't hated by people. I mean, girls love you. You were gorgeous. What's not to love, you know?
When you were a sweet guy,
it's not like you were nasty. You were a nice guy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And your famous earring. They always
the
talk about
the earring.
Absolutely,
Jennifer. My son still busts my balls over that all the time.
Oh, wow.
All the time.
You're really a serious actor. So, like, when this role came, were you like, why am I doing this? Obviously, you're on a number one show, so it was obviously the chance of a lifetime to do. But as a serious actor, like, how did you feel taking the role? And were you happy?
I thought, what the hell am I doing a sitcom? My dream being from New York and being a theater actor, and as you said, I studied at some respected schools, was a
yeah.
member at the Actors Studio, where you're talking guys like, you know, Al Pacino and Elia Kazan
yeah.
and Robert De Niro.
Mm-hmm.
And after getting run over, and nobody would hire me in New York. I could not get arrested.
Right.
And I was like, screw this. I got to go out
yeah.
to L.A. Oh, shit, L.A. And it was very comical coming to L.A. because I'm still wearing Doc Martens and chinos and a leather jacket. And it's, you know, 90 degrees out. And people are like, dude, what are you doing? I'm like, what do you mean, what am I doing? Dude, this is me. I'm dressed. What? But I knew I had to come out here and get a part that would make me bankable. Or at least give me
right.
some sort of recognition. I had no
right.
idea the power of television, especially back in the 80s when there was only, what was it, four channels at that time? NBC, ABC, CBS, and Fox.
Yeah, cable was just kicking in, yeah.
And cable wasn't even then. It wasn't.
Right, wasn't
cable
then
didn't,
yet, right.
Yeah. And, or it was just starting, like, you know, I'm not sure where it was at, but it was just, it was amazing. I had no idea of the power of TV, none. And the first episode I did, and the next day when I went out in public, literally swarmed with people where I went.
Wow, next day,
wow.
next day.
Next day,
next
literally
day.
Next day.
Wow.
And then it just got
overnight.
So overnight, and I was so ill-prepared for it. I had no idea what was coming. And, yes, it was fun having women throw themselves at you and showing up at your hotel room naked and saying, please, do me now. Not really.
Hey.
Not my cup of tea, because I'm thinking, if you're this way with me, how many guys are you doing this with? And
yeah,
or is there
yeah.
somebody with a camera somewhere that's going to take a picture and try to entrap me? So
right,
that was weird. And then, you know, traveling in airports, which is very, it's your fans, so you've got to be thankful. You have to be appreciative because those people are your paycheck. That's what you're using the means to feed your children, keep a roof over your head.
Right.
So I've always been rather confused by actors, musicians, athletes, anybody who is reliant upon the public buying a ticket or buying memorabilia or buying tchotchkes to make your paycheck. So when you see folks that are rather adverse to it, I'm like, what the fuck are you doing, man? You know, these people are... These are your fans. These are the ones that allow you to get those hundreds of thousands of dollars a week or those millions of dollars
right.
a year.
And, yeah, right. They made you. They made you popular, you know.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And
right.
it was so funny. I mean, there was a few actors that I had gotten into a thing, I will say, when they would act that way. And I'm like, what are you doing? Well, I'm not doing this for the fans. Okay, then go do theater. Go do community theater, or go do theater in the woods for squirrels. Because if you're not caring what the fans want, that's fine, but the fans are the money. The fans are the ones that allow you to drive that Porsche and allow you to live in Bel Air. So I think, you know, be appreciative. I'm not saying you got to kiss their ass, but at least be appreciative. Don't be a jerk, you know. So, but it just got, it was not me per se. It's the show.
Right.
The show was such a hit.
Right.
And come on, remember, we followed the predatory pedophile pervert for a few years, otherwise known as Bill Cosby. And that was a tremendous lead-in at the time, although not many people knew what a predator he was or is. But to have a show like that to be your lead-in, it's pretty hard to screw it up, you know?
Right.
And people
right.
like you and Jennifer saying, God, you did a great job on Family Ties. Again, I never thought of myself as a comedic actor. And it was truly great writers, guys like Alan Uyghur, guys like Michael Whitehorn, Gary Goldberg. There's many other writer-producers. The guy who they tried spinning the character off from Family Ties several times, and the guy who was the showrunner on that, Bruce Helford, went on to be the showrunner on Roseanne's show and on Drew Carey's show and on Charlie Sheen's show. So really, it kind of baffled me also where actors would get all this accolade and thinking, you know, if it wasn't for the writers and if it wasn't for the director and if it wasn't for the DP and if it wasn't for the marketing folks and if it wasn't for the distribution folks, I mean, this is truly a team effort here, and everybody contributes to it. So it just seemed like things were a little ass backwards.
Right. Right. Well, yeah, because we all need each other to get to that next step and make things work for it as a whole. I mean, you know, somebody's always got to have somebody to help them to get to that place, and that's what the whole crew, cast, everything does. But, I mean, that just shows how good of an actor you are. I mean, you went in there. You're not a comedian. You did the role. I mean, you're a fabulous actor. You're a serious actor, and you went in and totally twisted it, you know, so... I mean, that just goes to show how good of an actor you are, and the fact that people believe that you aren't—you didn't look like you were pretending to be Nick Moore. You really came off as Nick Moore, you know. So, I mean, fantastic, bravo.
You know, it's funny too in meeting people after, and in my line of work now, when folks find out the character I played 30 years ago, and they're like, "Oh my God, you don't talk like him." And you can conjugate verbs and add numeric figures. Yeah. Okay. What's your point? Well, I thought you were dumb. Okay. Good enough. Cool.
Right.
I guess you liked the character and you bought into what the character was selling. So that's cool. Yeah.
Right. Yep. Wow. So
Joanne, have you ever thought of doing voiceovers? You've got a phenomenal
no.
voice.
Me? No.
Yes. You have a phenomenal voice. I did voiceovers for years. You would love it. It's a great gig. I did this cartoon, Phantom 2040. Mark Hamill, Carrie Snodgrass, Deborah Harry, Margot Kidder, Pam, who at the time was Pam Segal. She's now Pam Alden, who was on Californication. Oh. She's got her own show, I think, on FX now.
Okay.
Remini, you know, the gal with all the Scientology stuff.
I love Leah. Oh, my God.
She's
you know Leah?
Just a sweetheart.
You
got
to tell her to call me. Please. I'd love to have Leah on the show. You got to hook me up, Scott. I love Leah. Oh, I do. Oh, her and King and Queens. Oh, my God.
So imagine those folks.
And
Paul Williams. You remember Paul Williams. Joanne, Jennifer's too young to remember. Yeah,
I remember Paul. Yep.
Jennifer, you can look up Paul Williams. Phenomenal singer songwriter.
Yeah, he's still alive, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I thought so. I don't think. I didn't hear that he had passed.
Just a great guy. And we did this cartoon, and the great thing with the cartoon, you can roll out of bed, just get in your sweats. You don't even have to brush your teeth, do your hair, and you go into the recording studio, and you're working.
Sort of like
when
the
I walked
pandemic.
In, when I saw this talent, the amount of talent that I was able to work with, that's another great thing. I've been afforded the opportunity to work with some really creative, very, you know, really good folks. Really good folks.
Right.
And the thing is...
Well,
go
ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, you go.
You go. No, you go.
No, you go, damn it.
No, you hang up. No, you hang up.
All right, let's do rock, paper, scissors, okay?
The role was so good. I mean, you had 3 spinoffs from it. So, I mean, did you imagine that was going to happen to you? Oh, my God. I mean, you know.
Oh, what a mess.
Your life changed from total, like, devastation. My life is over. My career is over. I can't believe I just got hit by this freaking truck. And then, boom, you get all this. And I know it wasn't overnight. I'm sure it was horrible, you know, situation for you. And, oh, my God.
Come
my heart
on, it wasn't that
you.
Bad. I had a roof over my head.
Truck.
I had food on my table.
It took you a long time to get back to normal, to get your body going. I mean, you were paralyzed. I mean, come on. That's a lot of work. It wasn't overnight. You struggled with that, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. But, I don't ever want to – I'm not one to carry around a cross and go, oh, look at me, woe is me. You know, there's a lot of folks that are a lot worse off than I am. And if there's anything that we can do to help them to have a better life and a better quality of life, that's what it's about for me. That's how things should be.
I'm all for it. Yeah.
But doing the spinoff was with Herschel Bernardi. Do you remember Herschel Bernardi? You may, Joanne, but Jennifer, once again, you're too young, okay?
Are you talking about The Art of Being Nick?
That was the third one with Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Yeah.
The first one with Hesh, they picked up, they started doing all the, you know, the promotional photographs and we're getting ready for this new show. And Hesh died at 3 in the morning while having a bowel movement.
Oh, my God.
Had a massive heart attack. So
they
killed that show. Next year they said, oh, we'll do another one next year. Let's come on back and we'll find a new thing. And the folks who wrote the show the next year, it was so bad that I went to Gary and I said, really? This? We're going to do this? We're going to waste our time and our efforts and our energy on this? I can't. Really? I mean, if you want to, I'll try it, but I don't. So that was passed on. And then the next year, we did one with Julia Louis-Dreyfus and Ray Baker, who Ray you may recognize from, he was in the movie Mars. He was in other stuff. Just great cast. Bruce Helford was the showrunner. Great writer. We get done. The word is everybody's loving it. And I'm thinking, great, okay, finally, we got a show. We can pick it up. We can go to work. And then it gets turned down. And I didn't understand why. What happened? Nobody would tell me. And then they aired it in the summer, and it had gotten, I think, a 45 share, which was huge. That means, you know, 45 million people watched it.
Right, right.
And I never knew, why didn't they pick it up? And then one day I'm out to lunch with another one of the mucky mucks in Hollywood, and he said, geez, it's really a shame what happened on your show. I said, yeah, it sucked. He goes, it's too bad they got into that fight. I'm like, who got into what fight? He goes, the fight. I said, what fight? Gary and Brandon, Gary Goldberg and Brandon Tartikoff had gotten into a fight. And one of them said, I was not there, so I can't, you know, quote things verbatim or firsthand. But somebody either said, well, you can't have my show, or I don't want your show. Well, you can't have the show. Yeah. And the show they were talking about was The Art of Being Nick.
Wow.
It was one of the many
Hollywood. You got Brandon Tartikoff saying what's going down. Guess who's going to win? You know.
Well, look, at the time, Gary, too, he had some pretty big cojones in Hollywood. He had several shows on air. The networks were kissing his ass to get other shows, and he made this deal with Paramount or with NBC, and it was the execution of the production that led to the argument between Brandon and Gary, and it was rather unfortunate. And I didn't find out until 2.5 years later. And the whole time too, which really, you know, both of them are dead now. So what are you going to do?
Yeah. And neither one screwed because of them, right?
Well, neither one had the respect to come and go, look, I got into this thing with Brandon, or I got into this thing with Gary, and you're you're screwed because we were adolescents, and you know. And it's
that old
Hollywood bullshit that when you're doing well, you know you're in trouble when some idiot comes up to you. It doesn't matter if the idiot's male or female, and they put their arm around you and they go, well, you're part of the family now. Welcome to the family. Like, no, you're not my family. My family's back in New York. That's my family. My family are my kids and my wife. That's my family. You're somebody I work with, and we like each other, but my guess is as soon as the shit hits the fan or there's a little hiccup, you're out of here quicker than Jack Rabbit. So, no, you're not my family.
They sure didn't treat me like family by, you know, cutting me up.
I don't know. You know, Joanne, you don't know a lot about my family, so...
No, I'm talking about they didn't treat you like family.
I know,
like
but
no.
No, but
oh, I get what you're saying. Oh, that your family's like that too. I got it.
Exactly.
I'm sorry.
We all have quixotic elements in our family, in our nucleus. We do.
Yeah. So, well, speaking of your family, are your kids into acting or anything in the arts?
Not at all. Not at all.
And what are you doing these days?
I'm an investment banker. We have been
I'm
one
a
for
banker
about 20.
As well, that's why I'm a banker as well. But let's not say where we work.
Oh, let's talk offline. Maybe we could do a couple of transactions together. Good, nice.
Yeah, we'll take it offline. Yes, sir. So go ahead. I'm sorry. So you're an investment banker.
Investment banker, and we've gone from just getting people money to now running their project with them because it got so frustrating raising money for folks and getting their deal financed and then seeing them mismanage it. And I truly believe every business is the same. Every business has to have a sound foundation. It's got to have efficacy of whatever your technology is. You've got to have efficacy of operations. You've got to have somebody to make sure somebody's going to buy your product, whatever that product is that you're making, whether it's power or ice cream bars or a pharmaceutical element, something, or marijuana, whatever it is. And we've worked, a large part of our business is still in the sustainable and renewable energy sector. And Gary Goldberg was always laugh because he'd say, there you are again, playing with garbage and shit and sort of the character you. And I said, yep, can't get away from it. The only difference is this garbage and shit, it knows it's garbage and shit. In Hollywood, it calls itself an actor or a director or an executive. You know, they want to say, but, you know, and also in defense of the entertainment industry, people, I think because the entertainment industry does get reported on and seen by a lot more folks than other industries, there are just as many knuckleheads in the real estate and the energy industry and the pharmaceutical industry as there is in Hollywood.
Oh, yeah.
They just,
Every industry.
Every.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. So,
but,
so if you didn't, I know you're a banker now, but if you didn't get all these acting gigs, what do you think you would have been doing with yourself? What do you think your employment would have been? What would you have been into?
I don't know, because, you know, when I was in college, I worked for the Gannett News Organization and started at the local hometown newspaper and went from being, you know, the kid that hung the teletype. Remember the teletape, the tape that would come across and
do
that
thin little.
Yep. And I was at like 14. I was literally the kid hanging that tape on the wall. And when one of the editors would call for a story, you had to find the code that correlated to the story they wanted and then put it through a machine, and then it spit out a printed version of it. And with that, I went from that to doing kind of writing articles in the editorial room to then reporting to then becoming an assistant editor of the sports department and then being offered a job to go to Guam and be the sports editor of the Guam Journal out of high school.
Really? Wow.
And I thought, great, I'm going to go to Guam. I'll be having lots of fancy, silly drinks on the beach with little umbrellas in them and meet Guamian babes, and life is beautiful. And then there was an attempted coup d'etat in Guam, and I thought, well, screw it, I'm not going there.
I
went to the local community college, and I got to tell you, my GPA, it was resounding. It was momentous. Oh, God, yeah. I went, I think, the first semester I had a 1.7. And the next semester, I had a 1.3. Let's just say, I was not a good student, and I wasn't inspired. And then I auditioned for a play, got a part in a play, and I thought, God, this is great. I love it. And the research I'm doing for the play, I can use the same research for my thesis in whatever, lit history or economics or, you know, somehow twist the research around to fit the need at the moment.
Right.
And there I am in upstate New York doing that, and I thought, what could make this better? What could make it better? Because I'm getting a lot of dates, and I'm having a lot of fun learning new things. Money.
Yeah.
Money can make it better. Let's go to New York. And that's when I decided to go to New York. I auditioned for a few different acting schools, got into the American Academy of Dramatic Arts, which was just a total wonderful experience for me, because folks, relationships that I made then are still alive and strong and thriving on a daily basis now, which is great to make lifelong friends like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I just loved it. I loved, there's this sense of community, you know? Which is,
so what,
and
what
that
gets
sticks
you
together.
What gets you up and out to do a role now? What would it take?
You know, if it's good material. I am producing also. We have a production company. We have a distribution company. The gentleman that is my partner, his name is Larry Maestrich. Larry founded a company back in the 90s called Shooting Gallery. Their big break Sling Blade.
I remember that movie.
Sold that to Miramax, won an Academy Award. And then Larry's gone on to produce and or distribute over 140 films and has done extremely well. Very fiscally sound.
Nice.
So we have We have several shows that were to be in production now, were it not for COVID. We're doing a couple of shows of the NFL. We're doing some other procedural shows, dramas. We're doing some other non-scripted shows.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just waiting for everybody to wear a mask and stay at home and let the COVID pass. But, you know,
mm-hmm.
us silly Americans that we are and feel that our constitutional rights are being violated by asking to wear something that keeps you safe. I don't comprehend that logic, but
it doesn't bother me one bit. I will wear it whenever I leave the house.
Exactly.
I don't have a problem with it. If it's going to keep me healthy, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, if it's also going to help somebody else and keep them healthy.
Right.
Exactly.
I know.
I used to be a smoker. I used to smoke cigarettes. And if somebody asked me and they said, you know, could you please not smoke around me? Sure, absolutely. No problem.
Right.
I think wearing a mask is being considerate to others, but a lot of folks, they aren't. We're not living in times that are genteel and civil. We're living in rather tumultuous, acrimonious times, unfortunately.
I know.
And I don't want to go down the political path. I know we said we'd stay away from it, so yeah. But but as far as doing a role now, to answer your question, one of the movies we're going to produce that is fully financed, we were going into pre-production and then COVID hit, is called The Walkers. And we've got some great actors set in the film. The gentleman who's the director is a buddy of mine for years and years and years and years. And he keeps bugging me about doing a small role in it. And I may do it because it's such a good script. And the thing that actually that killed it for me, acting-wise, one was having a business manager that stole the boatload of money from me. So we literally went from, in a day, going, honey, where do you want to go? You want to go to Barbados, Bahamas, Belarus? Pick a B, we'll go there. To the next day going, we have no money and we can't buy groceries. So I started having to take roles, not because I liked the material, but because I needed to feed my kids. I needed to keep a roof over my head. And more and more of the things that I was either auditioning for or got offered were just shit. They were horrible. And the aha moment was having a meeting over at Paramount, which I had to fight to get the meeting. And then finally I got a meeting with somebody who was probably half my age. It's very rude of me to say, but I had very little respect for this person. And I'm thinking, I'm in here trying to sell myself, and I think the script is just cow dung. It's horrible. Horrible. Mm. And I came out of the meeting, I'm like, you got to stop. This is go do something else and then come back to this. So I started producing, thinking, okay, I could produce and ever so often put myself in a film or a show that I thought was good material. And being a producer, you're not inured to the whims and the high school demeanor that exists in Hollywood. So after a while, my last production deal was at Madonna's company, and I'll once again had this aha moment, and I thought, you're not going to be able to feed your kids with these people. You're not. I went there. I had one project that Hilary Duff and Tim Allen were attached to. I had another project that Damon Wayans and Daryl Hannah was attached to, and they could never bring the financing through for it.
Right.
And so I'm thinking, you know, if these guys can't do this, when you those names at that time were very meaningful. They're not as meaningful now.
They still are.
Still meaningful. Still meaningful.
But when Hillary had
at the time, like I said, they were huge, right?
At the time, they were huge, and they were get anything greenlit, and
right.
There was just a lot of politics and a lot of bullshit. I finally was talking with the woman who is now my business partner, has been my business partner for 16 years.
Wow.
And she has two master's degrees, one in engineering and one in finance. And she had done a couple of renewable energy projects. And there's another gentleman who was at a fund that I had worked with. And they had just funded the first turkey manure to power plant up in Minnesota. And I thought, well, I should bring Party A together with Party B, and let's just go do our own renewable stuff. I mean, it can't be that hard to learn. So then learning those transactions, as you'll understand as a banker, are the same as assembling an independent film. An independent film is never, very rarely is financed from one sole source. You know, you get some foreign sales, you get some tax credits, you get a little bit of equity, maybe you get a product integration deal where they're paying to have the product in the show.
Right.
And you're kind of quilting together the different financial sources to make one solid entity to achieve the CapEx. And then on the back end, you had to make sure that you had somebody who was going to buy the film when it's done. So the same thing, we did a lot of anaerobic digestion. Anaerobic digestion is combining manure, biomass, which are tree trimmings and grass, and MSW, which is municipal solid waste. Mm. And you combine these three constituents, you put them in a chamber, and it breaks down, gas is created, and you can take that gas and either sell it into the pipeline if you clean it up, or you can combust it and spin turbines and make electricity. And literally, the financing structure of that is the same of an independent film. Because with the anaerobic digestion, you've got to make sure you've got contracts for your feedstock. You've got to make sure that you've got great engineering. You've got to make sure you've got great operators. And you've got to make sure you've got somebody to buy whatever it is you're making on the other end.
So it
just seemed, just like financing independent film, it seemed to have the same kind of business structure. So it was something to understand. I'm not going to say I fell into it and like, oh, God, I'm a genius. I picked it up like that. No, it took time. And I was very lucky to have partners that were very patient and very kind. And it's led to a nice business where at the ripe old age of 62, I know you're going to be shocked, Jennifer, that I'm 62. I can't believe it myself.
I'm 40 now. I'm shocked, too.
You still are really good looking. If anything, you are extremely handsome now. You're good looking then. Now you're extremely handsome. And Devin,
you're very, very kind. Very kind.
Yeah,
but you know, as you get older,
I see your face there. Your face has not changed one bit.
No, I'm lucky. Good genes. I went swimming in a good gene pool when Bevy and Eddie made Scotty Valentine. Okay, when they got Jiggy back in what would it have to be, September of 1957? Yeah. Okay. Must have been one of those cold nights up in the Northeast. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But you know, you're able then to sort of, you figure it out as you go along, and you know the pieces that need to be in place, and it actually gets easier as you get older.
Right.
But it's like that old expression. What is it? Youth is wasted on the young. You know. It's stuff. And I don't want to sound like a FUD, but it's like, damn, I wish I knew this when I was in my 20s or my 30s.
Oh God, yeah. With everything, you kidding? I think everybody feels the same way. Oh, you know what I want to ask you, Scott? Have you guys ever discussed getting together for a reunion at all, or has that happened and I missed it?
You know, Joanne, they've had, I think, 3 reunions, and I have not been invited to any of them.
Are you kidding me?
No, there's one cast member that doesn't really like me. And as Gary Goldberg told me when we were at lunch before he died, I said, dude, what's up? You guys are having these get-togethers, and I'm stinky?
Yeah.
Did I not brush my teeth? Is it my shoes? Do I not have the right shoes?
You were making art out of garbage.
Yeah. Probably should have showered after, right?
Yeah, Jennifer wants you to spill. She wants
to know
who it is.
And I was told that there was somebody that I made uncomfortable and didn't want me around. So, okay, that's fine.
Now we have to guess.
Let's. Whatever. Everybody's got their reasoning for everything, and that's their own thing.
Right.
I've got a great life. I've got 4 beautiful boys. I got a woman that kisses me and pats me on the head now and then. For some reason, she loves me. I don't know why, but I'm a lucky guy. You know? and my crazy mom is still kicking at 87 and piss and vinegar. So she's just, life is good.
Awesome.
Life is good. And I'm working with really good folks. We've got jobs going in South Carolina, Oklahoma, Pennsylvania, New York, potentially Texas if this other transaction goes the way that we hope it will, and it's just good. You meet there are a lot of good folks to work with, and it's really nice to combine efforts and combine disciplines and truly have a team mentality about it. You know?
Right.
Truly
that's
wonderful.
Great.
So,
nice.
Yeah, it is.
Well,
good.
If you,
it's really good.
Do you want folks to know where they could get in touch with you if they needed to, or you want anybody to reach out to you, and you have a website or anything, Scott?
No, nothing. I've actually been very, you know, it's funny, you and I met, and it's funny, looking at your picture and hearing your voice, you remind me, not exactly, but in tone and tenor, of my business partner, who was an Italian chick from Buffalo, New York, and just a sweetheart. And it's just, it's kind of nice having a life that you can go to the grocery store and not get marauded by people.
Right.
And there was this one time, it was just insane. We were changing planes, I think, in Chicago. Mm. And they held the flight for us because the flight coming in was late. And they were very kind to hold the flight. But my son, one of my sons, as we were going from, whatever, Terminal A to Terminal H, mm-hmm. decided that it was time to pass his bowels, and I'm carrying him. And as I got to the gate, I said to the attendant there, I said, look, this little dude, he just did a number in his diaper, and I could change it on the plane, but it's going to stink up the whole plane. Can I change this right here real quick? So as I'm changing my son's diaper and literally having wipes in my hand that are covered with fecal matter, people were going, could you sign this? Could you sign that?
God.
Dude, let me just... I would if I could, but I can't. They're holding the plane for me, and I got poopies all over my hands. So please, give me a minute. Please give me a minute. You know, I'm sorry I can't, I can't. You know, it's just...
Now, have your kids seen you as Nick Moore or Nick Morelli? What do they think?
They laugh at me, not with me, at me. They get a lot of laughs out of the chandelier earring.
That's awesome.
And they really don't give a... You know, because they grew up in L.A. and they've got friends whose parents are even more famous than me, that are have much more notoriety. And it's like, you were on a sitcom 30 years ago. You know, so-and-so's friend, his dad's on primetime, so okay. And the other one's friend, they just released an album. They had 3 million downloads, so who the hell are you? And believe me, there was plenty of fodder. I don't know if you saw, I did a Playgirl spread.
I was going to ask you about that. I don't remember that.
I did not see this. I was too young for this.
Yeah, I don't recall you doing that, but I did see it in your bio. I was like, when the hell did he do this? Oh, my goodness.
Jennifer was only a little girl watching Family Ties, about 8 years old.
How many copies of that do you have?
You know, I think I have a copy of it somewhere in storage. But the funny thing is, if you ever look at the cover, it must have been early days of Photoshop.
Yeah.
My left pectoral compared to the right, I think it was the left pectoral. It looks as if it's a triple H cup, and the right pectoral looks like a B cup. It's like, oh my God, what do I have, elephantitis of the pectoral? It was so weird, very, very weird.
Oh, God. Well, how was
and
that
the boys,
experience? What did you think of that experience?
It was fun, you know, and it gave my boys something to laugh, once again, laugh at, not with,
Right. How old are the kids now?
Oh, goodness gracious, 34, 32, 28, and 21. And the 34-year-old's a producer. None of my kids wanted to be in front of the camera. The 32-year-old has his master's degree in public health. The 28-year-old is doing something with gene splicing and the rearranging of DNA or whatever is his thing. He talks to me and it goes over my head, just whoosh, you know. I'm like, dude, bring it back down to like high school vernacular, all right? Because
I didn't talk to your mother. Don't talk to me.
And the youngest one is going into his senior year at UCLA, he's something also in the health sector, but he's a musician. He taught himself how to play piano. He taught himself how to play guitar. They've got a band, and the great thing is the band, what they play is literally Beatles. Who are the brothers, the California brothers, the Beach Boys.
Beach Boys, yeah.
And then also Edith Piaf. Remember French arcade music with Edith Piaf, that kind of feel?
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, and they all, when they perform, they wear suits, those thin little ties. They comb their hair. It's such a trip. It's so cool.
What's the name of the band? What's the name of the band?
I think the Misties, M-Y-S-T-I-E-S, the Misties.
Oh, cool. Nice.
But the thing is,
nice.
He won't let me come see him perform. I can only watch tape.
I know why.
Why?
He doesn't want you singing I Love Mallory. You're not going to steal his thunder with that song.
They don't want me singing anything, Jennifer. I don't know what the hell it is. Jesus.
Oh, God.
No, he said, I will get too nervous if I see you in the audience. And it really messed with my head. And I'm like, okay, I get it.
Aww,
I understand.
But,
you know, he said, when you're performing maybe at the Hollywood Bowl or at, you know, some big venue and you can't see me in the crowd of people, then I'll come watch you.
Right,
you know,
right. Because
I want to be very supportive, but I don't want to mess with his artistic qualities.
No.
Don't want to mess up the flow.
No,
and they're all great kids. And, yes, I'm biased. I'm their dad, but they're great guys. The thing, the greatest thing I think to achieve is when they greet each other or leave each other. It's always with, love you, man. Love you, man.
No.
So the fact that they're sharing love is a good thing. And the fact that they all talk to each other is a good thing, you know, is very nice.
Now you've definitely had some trials and tribulations, but yet you're happy and everything you've done, no regrets maybe, and just loving life.
It's been a ride, honey. It's been a ride.
I know.
Look, the entertainment industry is very good to me. I got to go to Asia. I got to go to Southeast Asia. I got to go all around Europe. I got to go to Central America, all over North America. I mean, what a great gig. And I tell people are like, oh, it must be so hard. No, it's really, no, it's not that hard. It isn't. I mean, getting the job is hard, but once you have the job, it's easy. And I said, no other place do I know where you can show up for work 2 hours late, be hungover and smell like a distillery, and they greet you with, hi, how are you? So glad you can make it. You know, your wardrobe's set for you in your room. We're ready for your makeup when you're ready. Set, lit, hot, ready to go. And should I get your breakfast burrito? You know, it's just, it's crazy. Instead of going, where the hell you been? You're late. You're costing us, you know, $1,000 an hour. And
right.
Just,
would you like a breakfast burrito with your Jack Daniels?
Or would you like that with a line of Coke? How are we taking it this morning?
Oh, my God.
I'm gonna
let you if you had anything else for Scott, since you are such a big fan of the show. I want to see if you had anything else you wanted to add.
I think I kind of covered it. I mean, I don't want to ask him to imitate Mr. Nick, but you know, we all love a good egg.
I was gonna ask him to, but I didn't want to do it either.
You know, I haven't done the hay in a long time. I'm not sure I would bring it. Do it justice, you know. It was that guttural, not even like a hey, hey.
Yeah,
sort
it was
of
real
like
deep.
Yeah, we'd have to get back in the groove again. It was.
I did read something again. I don't know if it's true, but it had said that you didn't feel that you deserved to make the money that you made, grunting and being Nick Moore.
You are 100% correct. Yes.
Right.
Was,
well, as a professional actor, yeah, and seeing what you're doing and making a ton of money, sure.
It just messed with. I grew up in a blue collar family, that going to work meant, you know, swinging a hammer or swinging a pickaxe and doing real labor, real work, and having a job in an industry where some weeks all I did was grunt. And I got paid more in a week than most people made in a year, and it just didn't seem it didn't seem right. It just didn't. And I had a lot of people going, shut up, just take the money. What are you, nuts? And I'm thinking, no, teachers are much more important than actors. They're creating the future. They're of our country by, you know, educating and instilling sort of whatever morals and civil practices into the youth of America, and they should make a lot more money than us, I think, you know. And I've always confused, what about the guy or gal who designed the system to turn a piece of garbage into power, or to turn something that was total waste into something good? That person should, we should be doing TV shows about those folks, not about drug-addled, mercurial, immature artists. I mean, yes, an artist give us something, and they do. I mean, through this pandemic, all of us have turned to art. We've turned to content or books or poems or music for comfort, and that's a very vital thing, and I don't want to be unappreciative of it. But on a day-by-day basis, I just I think a lot of teachers get the short end of the stick. I think they should be paid a lot more and be lauded
a lot more.
And there are other folks, other industries
that could get a lot more,
Look, I go to my doctor, I go to my primary care physician, and to have that person tell me I'm broke, I can't pay my bills, and not because of mismanagement, but just because of what they have to accept as payment from the negotiated contract with the insurance company, and then their own malpractice insurances that they have to maintain, it's very hard for these people. It's not like when I was a kid, or once again, Jennifer, you're so much younger than all of us.
What do you mean, all of us?
Well, you and Joanne are much younger than me. Much younger.
Hey, I'm up there. I don't mind. It's just a number. That's all I care about. Just a number.
But, you know, there are other people.
My heart and my mind.
There are other folks that contribute to us having a better life on a daily basis.
Right. Exactly.
And I'm not saying actors shouldn't, but I'm saying those people should get just as much monetary love, I think, and they don't, unfortunately.
I hear you.
I will say that, like, Family Ties isn't a show that I see in, like, syndication that much.
Yeah, I haven't seen it in syndication a long time.
I think they may have run the living bejesus out of it, and then they sold it. Didn't they sell it to Netflix? It was on Netflix for a period of time.
I don't know. I have Netflix. I'll have to check it out. I mean, I've seen so many shows from back then, over and over. Sha-la-la-la.
Sorry, the song is getting in my head.
No, wait, let me ask. What is Joanne? When you want, like, just some, like, eating junk food, okay, eating junk content, what's your go-to for an old TV show? Like, okay, I like this, and I can watch this over and over.
Oh,
what would be your show?
I've gone through many stages, and they're really odd. In my 20s, I would sit and eat a jar of pepperoncini. Is that insane? Then I would go to a Chinese restaurant and get a big bag of the noodles and a pint of duck sauce, and I would eat that.
No. I mean, what show would you watch?
What show are you watching while you were eating?
What would be your
next? When I watch these shows?
No. What would be your junk like to watch? Like me, I like actually watching, as much as a little embarrassing to admit, because it's so sexist, 2 and a Half Men. I thought Charlie Sheen and John Cryer did a phenomenal job on that.
That was good. I only watched it in reruns, but I got tired of it. Oh, God. Let's see. You're asking me the wrong person that, because, I mean, I am addicted to TV, so I watch Brady Bunch, Partridge Family, oh, my God, I love Lucy, Twilight Zone, big time, oh, my God, right now I'm enjoying
Mannix
currently.
Or Mission Impossible?
Mannix was good. Mission Impossible I liked a long time ago, and Columbo was a biggie for me.
Oh, yeah,
and,
Columbo.
Murder, She Wrote at the time, Columbo,
Angela's such a sweetheart.
Yeah, and I could watch Columbo over and over again. I get pissed because MeTV, they do a Columbo on Sundays, and every time I watch it, it's one I've seen. And it's like, why can't you do one that I haven't seen? You know? It's just like, oh, God. But, no, you got the wrong person. I'm a big TV buff, so I can't. I mean, my most current one now is Mom. I like Mom in reruns.
Yes. I didn't ever watch the initial run.
Show.
And Allison Janney is phenomenal. And
oh,
the gal
I know,
who plays the one who plays the daughter, the recovering
Anna Faris.
Yes.
Anna Faris is hysterical too. Did you see House Bunny?
No.
Jen, you saw House Bunny.
No.
No? Oh
no.
My God.
No. We'll have to go and rent it now. Okay, now that you've
what
what
is the House Bunny as you speak of?
No,
and Jen, what would be your go to sort of?
Yeah, what's your go to?
Your television junk food.
My throwback or my current?
Any of them. Your current, your throwback.
She's a Netflix person, so.
Well, I'm loving Goldbergs, the Goldbergs.
Oh, I was liking that when it was originally on. Yeah.
Oh,
I've
been on
that.
The Goldbergs.
Yes.
Get out.
You have?
Yes. Not as Scott Valentine. They've licensed a clip from Paramount of Family Ties, and apparently it was a clip of Nick. And I got a letter.
Oh, okay.
I've
probably seen it because I've seen them all.
Mm.
But I love the Goldbergs, and I love reality TV. I love Big Brother.
Yeah. Big Brother.
And I do a lot of like Real Housewives. You like Big Brother.
I love Big Brother.
The only one. That's the only one I watch. We're missing it right now.
But if I'm going to watch like an old TV show, I really love watching Full House.
Really?
I watch Full House. I like the new one. I like the Fuller House. It's just a nostalgia. The new one isn't obviously as good as the old one, but I just love it. And I love Blossom and like Joey Lawrence, like that whole.
Whoa.
I was born in 80, so...
Whoa.
God, you were born in 80? Wow.
I was born in 80, so, like, they're my jams, and that's what I'm saying. Like, when I was watching Nick on Family Ties, like, you were, like, a guy I would, like, want to marry in my 20s. I'm like, he's so hot. I bet he listens to Motley Crue. And, like, that's what I was thinking. Like, I always thought that Alex was square. Like, Alex was not for me. I thought that, like, Skippy was a dork and, like, Alex was a square. And, like, Mallory was, like, the kind of girl who was babysitting me at that time.
Oh,
and I'm
Mallory
like, yes, I want to hang out with Mallory and Nick. They're my people.
Yeah, Mallory was hysterical. She was hysterical. My God.
I was listening to Guns N' Roses and watching Family Ties and, you know, asking my babysitter to tease my hair. So.
Oh, my God.
Nick,
how funny.
Scott, what is your go-to?
You know, JoJo, if I may.
Yes, that's what people call me.
Because I'm the god-awful thing of owning your own company or your own business is that, you know, work is never done. Because my honey will say to me, are you done with your work? No. Honey, I could stay up 24/7 for the next week and I'd still have work to do. So, but when I finally get to the TV, what I love is actually watching HGTV or DIY.
On my house 24/7.
Is it?
But I'm not watching it, but it's on my TV.
Do you like
TV.
Property Brothers?
They're okay. They get a little bit goofy, and Chip and Joanna, like Chip, it's like, dude, just be normal. Stop acting like a clown.
Yeah,
okay?
They annoy me.
He annoys me. What I really like is the mother and daughter, and I don't know if they're like in Indiana that they go in and redo these old houses. They are very watchable. And then there's this other couple. What is
the
it?
The Palm Springs ones. I like the Palm Springs couple. They
seem real. The other ones, the Napiers, are down, like, I think in Mississippi or Missouri. The husband's got the physique of a refrigerator, and the wife is this cute little blonde woman. And it's just, they're normal, and you can tell they have a good relationship. It's nothing pushed. It's nothing, you know, where they're trying. The ones, it
I've
was
never
so
seen
funny.
That one.
Oh, God, here, I'll try to find the name for you. But the
yes,
other one that started off initially... The
Go
guy,
ahead.
The Tarek and what's her name, Christina?
Yeah.
And it just got so obnoxious.
Yeah.
Really, like, it's like her, it's like, Good Bones is the mother and daughter one. I think they shoot in Indiana.
Oh, okay.
And the other one, Hometown, they're down in Missouri or in Mississippi. And they're really nice. I like. I like somebody taking what I really taking something old and shitty and turning it into something good. Not tearing it down and we're going to build a whole new one up. Let's take what's there and save what's good, throw away what's bad, and let's make something cool out of it. You know?
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Well, the Palm Spring one, I don't know their names, but they seem like a real couple to me too. It doesn't seem forced, you know. But I can't think of that one's name. But well, Mr. Valentine, we would like to let you enjoy your family and some free time that you may have left. So I wanted to say what a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. It really was a pleasure, and I thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. I hope you both have a wonderful rest of your week. And please just be safe and don't get the crud.
Oh, I just wanted to say that JoJo's show is making my family ties dreams come true. I talked to Billy Vera.
Oh, my God.
And now I talked to you.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
Billy's a great guy.
On the show. Yeah. Oh,
he's
nice
a great
guy.
Guy.
Are you kidding?
Yeah. He was super sweet when I called in. I was glad I called in.
He's a sweetheart. The funny thing is he did, you know, that song for Family Ties.
Yeah.
And before before I got on Family Ties, and when I was planning the wedding to my first wife, and only wife, I haven't been remarried, we had a friend that said, hey, I can get this band and they'll come perform live. Really? Who are they? Billy Vera and the Beaters. Okay, never heard of them, but what the heck?
Right,
and
right.
From then until when we had the wedding, he had that song come out, and it was number one. It was like, oh, my God,
yes.
How'd you get this hot band? It was like, I don't know. Lucky. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I
got Billy
Vera
and the Beaters.
Yep.
I was
surprised
when we had him on the show that he sings the King of Queens. I had no idea he wrote that, too.
Yeah, he's a talented
fellow. The King of Queens. Yeah, I had no idea. Yeah.
Super nice guy as well.
Yeah.
Super nice.
Talented. And very
Jennifer
talented.
And Joanne,
yeah.
You both are super nice women. Thank you so much for inviting me into your world. I'm greatly, very appreciative.
Oh, thank you. No,
and,
thank you.
Please stay safe.
Thanks for talking Jersey with us for an hour.
Yeah. He's from the East Coast. He's from New York. He talks like that. So.
That's what I'm saying. Thanks for talking Jersey, hanging out.
Beautiful.
Yep,
beautiful.
Thanks for hanging out. Scott, thank
you
so much. Everybody, Scott Valentine, thank you, sir. All the best to you, and anytime, come on back.
Thank you both. You guys take care. Appreciate it.
You too.
You too. Bye-bye, Scott. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, what a sweetheart, huh? Oh, my goodness. I'll tell you.
He was so nice. Oh.
Yeah, isn't that fun? And you saw his picture. He looks exactly the same. His face.
Yeah, I saw
it. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Well, I hope you had fun talking to your I don't want to say heartthrobs or whatever, but one of your
now if you
had
Kirk Cameron
shows.
On, that's a little different.
Who? Oh, Kirk Cameron. Oh.
Yeah, you gotta get like Mark Paul Gosselaar. I was gonna say Luke Perry, but he passed away. Those are my people. 90210, Saved by the Bell.
Yeah, next month we're going to be doing a lot of music, so we're going to be getting back to lots of music, so I'm excited about that.
It was fun. Hopefully I sounded intelligent.
Yes, you did a good job. You did a good job. So what's this? I only ordered that. What are you selling that? What is it? How do you pronounce that?
It's pharmacy, just like a pharmacy store or drugstore.
It was pharmacy. I, when I see it, it's like pharmacy.
That's how I thought it was, too, until I found out. I was like, oh, pharmacy. And then the girl's like, no, it's pharmacy, but
well,
it's pharmacy in Turkish, so.
Oh, okay. I got it. I got it. Well, I bought the couple of things. I like them, so. And if the one thing, especially since we couldn't get the pedicures, what's the name of the stuff, this foot scrub? I forgot the name of that.
Yep.
Yep, that was good. So,
the
but anyway, thank you to our guest, Scott Valentine. Thank you to our listeners. Thank you so much for listening. Ouch. Our sponsors, the Hive Bar and Bistro in Garfield, New Jersey, Precious Memory Video in Kitnesville, Pennsylvania, KWV Wines in South Africa, Tees for the Times and Other Stuff in Clifton, New Jersey, Syntech Productions in Oklahoma, New Jersey, Oleander Public Relations in Texas, big old Texas. Take a break from cancer.org for Pete's sake. And Joey Max Hot Dog Truck and Cafe in Harrison, New Jersey. And we're going to be giving away some. We got some T-shirts from them guys. And I think we have coupons for free food for giving away over there. So if you guys are interested in that, we're going to post that. We're going to be doing that. And I'm very, very excited about Sunday's show. For those of you who know me and listen to the show, I'm a huge fan of Elvis. And I have two guests on Sunday for Elvis's anniversary, August 16th. This is the day he died, 1977. I don't have to tell you that. I think everybody of my age knows. I don't know about these kids today. But everybody knows what August 16th is. And this is actually Elvis week right now in over at Graceland. I'm going to be there next year, I hope.
Awesome.
I haven't been anywhere in so long. I want to go somewhere. And so I have two guests on Sunday that are Elvis-related. I'm so excited about it. I don't even want to tell you who they are. I want to surprise you. And just speaking to them before coming onto the show, I was crying. So this could be my Barbara Walters interview where they make me cry. So, but I know. I can't believe it. I couldn't believe it. I'm so sorry.
Don't cry, Barbara. Don't cry.
I don't mean to cry. I'm so sorry. So, all right, everybody. Thank you very much. Jennifer, thank you for joining us tonight. Our special co-host.
Thanks for having me.
Jennifer. Johnny O, get some rest. We'll see you Sunday, honey bunny. And everybody, thank you so much and have a good night. Take care. Bye-bye. Thanks, Jen.
Bye-bye. Ciao.
Bye. Ciao for now.